Good morning, everyone. Good to hear you loud and clear. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul goes through several subjects here. He starts out giving the gifts of the Spirit, which I prayed many times that God would really bestow and gift us all with. Every time I go to a foreign country, I realize that I don't have the gift of tongues yet. But you will notice that faith is one of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's also one of the gifts of the Spirit. After Paul lists these gifts of the Spirit, then he launches into a discussion of how the members of the church of God are like a body. One body with many members. And he goes on to say in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12 that God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. We all have our gifts and our responsibilities to function as God has appointed for each and every one of us. And so God has appointed some to various offices. You read in beginning in verse 28 down through verse 30. And then in verse 31, the Apostle Paul speaks of a more excellent way. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And so that's what I want to speak about today, this more excellent way that the Apostle Paul mentions here in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 12. And the way that he was inspired to write about, the way of love. And the title that I've given this is A More Excellent Way, taken here from 1 Corinthians 12, 31. And so let's read through 1 Corinthians 13. Here, as we begin, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love in the New Testament that I'm speaking about is the Greek word agape, or we pronounce it agape. If I'm looking at the pronunciation correct, is the correct pronunciation is agape, and which according to Zodiates means love, affectionate regard, goodwill, or benevolence. It means, according to Zodiates, love, affectionate regard, goodwill, and benevolence. When I did a search on love and loving and loveth, loveless, affection, on Esword, it appeared almost 400 times in the Bible. And I forgot to put in charity, so it's probably well over 400 times that this word appears in the Bible. And in the time remaining, we're going to go through every one of those. But we aren't. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 13:1. Where the Apostle Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. He's saying if we don't have love, if we don't have this agape, that we're just shallow. We lack heart. We just produce so much noise, and it's discordant noise like a horn or a clanging cymbal. Put a marker here in 1 Corinthians 13. I want to show you an example in the Scripture in Acts, the 24th chapter, where I think this individual might have a sound like a horn or a clanging cymbal. In Acts 24, this orator named Tertullus, who came with the elders to give evidence against Paul in Acts 24:1. And here's how Tertullus began his accusation in verse 2 of Acts 24. Notice the sincerity in all of this. Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. And then he goes on to falsely accuse the Apostle Paul. And so, the Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13:1 that we can speak, we can be an orator, we can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if it doesn't spring from a foundation of love, it's like sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And he goes on to say in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, if I can give inspired preaching, if we can give inspired foretelling of the future, and we don't have love, we're nothing, he goes on to say. And he says the same, that we can understand all mysteries. We can understand God's plan of salvation, His holy days, why we're here, why we're born, why we draw breath. We can understand all of those mysteries of the Bible, and we can have all knowledge of the Bible. And we can have all faith so that I could remove mountains, the Apostle Paul says. If Christ said if we had the faith like a little grain of mustard seed, we could pray and we could move mountains. And Paul is referring to that here, I believe. But we don't have love, if we don't have agape, he says we're nothing. We're absolutely nothing. And in verse 3, he says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor." And that's doing a great turn. A great turn. Of helping to feed the poor. "And though I give my body to be burned," in saving someone, somehow. "And if I don't have love, and if I don't do it from a heart of love and an attitude of love, it doesn't get me anywhere. It doesn't profit anything." And he goes on to say in verse 4 that love suffers long. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. Is kind. Love is kind. It does not envy. It's not jealous of. It doesn't flaunt itself. It doesn't parade itself and show itself off. And is not puffed up. One of the things God hates is being puffed up. Being arrogant here in the margin of the New King James. Is not arrogant. Verse 5. So love does not behave rudely, is not offensive, does not seek its own, is considerate of others, is unselfish, is not provoked, is not quick to anger. There's a scripture that says, don't let the sun go down on our anger. And if we're going to be angry, we need to be righteously angry. And thinks no evil. One of the ways to get help when we have evil thoughts come to mind, hold your place there and turn to 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 4. When I asked one of the prisoners who was getting out, when you have thoughts come to your mind to tempt you to do what got you here in prison to start with, how do you handle it? And he quoted this scripture to me in verse 4 and verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And so we all have wrong thoughts come to our minds. Thoughts that if we think about and end up taking action on result in sin. And a good prayer to pray when those thoughts begin to come to mind is, "Father, help me to bring all of my thoughts into captivity. Help me not to think this way. Change me from the inside out. Perform a miracle on my brain cells. And help me to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 13, Apostle Paul goes on to write that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Hold your place there and turn to Romans 1. See, birds of a feather flock together. Romans 1. 32 regarding rejoicing in iniquity. Now the Apostle Paul goes through here and he talks about those who hold back the truth of God in unrighteousness, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, in verse 18. And he says they ought to know better. For since, in verse 20, the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that remain, even His eternal power and Godhead. We can look around and look at this universe and look at chemistry and physics and biology and zoology, and we know there has to be a God. Who invented E equals MC squared, V equals IR, F equals MA? Who invented all those laws? It had to be the Most High God. And we can see His eternal power and Godhead by the things that are made and by the laws that He made. And He made a physical universe with all of its physical laws, and He made a spiritual universe with all of its laws. And in verse 32, speaking of these who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, he says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so birds of a feather do flock together. And we need to be careful who we hang out with. Because if we hang out with some who are going this path, we won't pull them up. They will pull us down. And so love, back to 1 Corinthians 13, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. Turn to Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so, rejoice in things where there's virtue and where the items are praiseworthy, where they are true, noble, just, pure. To the pure, all things are pure. Remember that scripture? And lovely and good report. Meditate on these things. As Mr. Hopper said, pray, study, fast. Meditate. Meditate on these things. Back in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love puts up with annoyances. Believes the Word of God and acts on it. We have to be doers and not hearers only. As the Apostle James said. And we hope all things. We hope for a quick return of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We hope for the kingdom of God, and to be changed from mortal to immortal at the seventh trump. And that makes it worth enduring all things. That makes it worth enduring all things. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And so the sufferings that we have to go through between now and the kingdom of God, we'll look back one of these days and consider that they're minor pinpricks against the backdrop of eternity. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. They will come to pass. Whether there are tongues or other languages, they'll cease, because we're all going to be given a new tongue, a new language, a pure language. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. There's a lot we don't understand. There are going to be millions of people called and converted during the millennium. How and when are they going to join the family of God as immortal spirit beings? After the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem that we read about in the last few chapters of Revelation, what's next? Where do we go from there? What about the rest of eternity? There's trillions of stars out there, and God knows them all by name. Prodigious feat to know them all by name. How do all those stars fit in? All the planets. There's a lot we don't know. We just need to be there in the New Jerusalem and see God face to face. And we'll be able to hear it all firsthand. But when that which is perfect has come, verse 10, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, verse 12, we see in a mirror. Or the King James Version translates it, through a glass darkly. We don't see everything clearly. We see dimly. It's like looking through a window that's fogged over. But then, we'll see face to face. Now, I know in part, But then I shall know just as I am also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. If we take these scriptures about love to heart, we see that love should permeate our every thought, our every word, and our every action. This is true because God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And he says back in verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And down to verse 9, In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And what does John 3:16 state about the love of God? It says, For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrates His love toward us by sending His Son to die for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And our being baptized and having hands laid on us and being converted doesn't stop us from goofing up and sinning every now and then. We all need to stay in an attitude of repentance for the rest of our lives. And God has given us a way. He's demonstrated His love to us by sending His Son to die for us while we were still sinners. Back in Romans 3, verse 23, we read, For all have sinned, that's every one of us, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so that's why we need to remain in a repentant attitude. And God has bestowed great love on us that we should be called the sons of God. In 1 John, the third chapter, tremendously encouraging scripture. 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Turn back to Romans 8. The love of God has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 8, chapter, verse 5. Well, I wrote down the wrong scripture, so let's go to the next one. I have to look that one up again. What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. It's love, isn't it? In Galatians, the 5th chapter, it's love. It's agape. Verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. Self-control. And against all of these, of the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law against. No law against. And the Spirit that God has given to us is not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And He has promised us that He has started a good work in us and He will finish it. He started a good work in us, and He'll finish it. And He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so since God is love, what do you think His whole law and prophets hang on? They hang on love. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, hangs on love. Beginning in verse 35 of Matthew 22. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him, saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On loving God with all of our heart and mind and soul and being, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, is the basis for all of God's law and all of the prophets. So all of God's law is founded on love. All of prophecy is founded ultimately on love. And so how do we show our love for God? By keeping His commandments in 1 John, the 5th chapter. We show our love for God by keeping His commandments. 1 John 5, beginning in verse 2, But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. We love God and keep His commandments, and we show our love for God that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And whatever we ask, we receive because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. in chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And we fulfill the whole law by in love. In Romans, the 13th chapter, Romans 13, beginning in verse 8, Apostle Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Jesus spoke numerous times about love. In particular, in John 13, John 14, and John 15. And he says in verse 35 of John 13, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If you have that agape for one another. And he says in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he says in verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." He says in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." God the Father and Jesus Christ will come to dwell within us and make our home with him. If we dwell in love, if we show love in every way. In John 15, verses 9 and 10, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love." There's several more here that say much the same thing. Jesus also told us something to do that is very difficult and very hard to do, and that is to love our enemies. That is easy to say and hard to do. We can only do that with God's help. In Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same?" And he goes on to say in verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus set us the perfect example of loving His enemies. As they were crucifying Him, He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And as Stephen was being martyred and stoned to death, He said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Here are some scriptural anchors to close with. In Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who have that agape, to those who are the called. See, there's a condition there. According to His purpose, who are the called according to His purpose. And eventually everyone is going to be called. It's just not all in this age. Romans 8, verse 35, beginning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. Another anchor, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. God has rewards for us out there that are bigger than we can even imagine. More than we've ever dreamed possible. Rewards that have never even entered our minds. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. It's going to be better than we've ever dreamed possible. So love is one of the most important topics in the Bible. The love that we have discussed today is agape in the Greek New Testament. Agape means love, affectionate regard, goodwill, benevolence. God is love, and all of God's law and prophets hang on love. God loved this world so much that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us, and He did this while we were still sinners. The first of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. We show God that we love Him by keeping His commandments. The Apostle Paul summed up a more excellent way in 1 Corinthians 13 and revealed to us what love is and what it is not. All of our lives should be characterized by love. Love toward God the Father, love toward our elder brother and Savior Jesus Christ, love toward our brethren, and love toward this sin-sick world.